Hi, good evening, Rabbi
Nevsky,
and just wanted to make mention first, what gives me the impetus for a lot of the things I say, as we know, a lot of things that I say are mine, and so of course, if you have any problems with it, then certainly take it up with me. I had a lot of problems with questions, and thank God I had a father who was a Rebbe who never said, can't ask that, and that goes a long way to developing your own thoughts and your own derech, your own way to think. Of course, being a Balkori for so many years growing up enforces a lot of things. Psukim are always rolling around in my head. And what doesn't make sense, which a lot of things don't, you'll be surprised how many things are in the Gemara or other commentaries are asking the same questions. The question that I never saw an answer to is, on some way, it's brought to light by the Vilna Gaon of Parshas B'Shalach. We notice that when we read Parshas Zohar, we tend to repeat a phrase, it became a minute, we don't know how long ago, to say the word Zecher and Zecher, two different meanings perhaps. We're not exactly sure what means what, the remembrance of it, to memorialize it, which one is which. There's a lot of discussion about it. Is there really any real difference? And we'll discuss that here. And everything in the parasha today, of course, we have to gloss over it, but the truth is the parasha does have a tie into the Megillah as well this week. And what I mean by that is making a very interesting point, is that when we start off the parasha, when it says Vayikra El Moshe, there's a message there when it says Vayikra El Moshe. Of course, heretofore, we see in all of Shemos, God is calling Moshe by his name Moshe. But Chazal speak over here on this pasuk when God calls him at this point in time, right before the Chanukah Sabayis for the Mishkan. And what he's saying over here is the Chazal tell us that Moshe had 10 names. Very interesting, and yet God chose him to use the name Moshe, which was given to him by Bas Paro, when it says, Ki min amayim ishisiu vatikra shemo Moshe, because she drew him from the water. A lot of discussion on that, because that's how the way the word would be, but nevertheless, that's what we're told, that's the way the Chumash relates it to us, so we're stuck with that. But the point is, why was he, did God continue to call him Moshe? We know a lot of people who are Gerim, the people who they have other names, they have secular names, they change their name, or they make sure when they become a Jew, or for whatever reason, if they don't have a Hebrew name, they certainly give themselves a Hebrew name. And why would Moshe, if he had plenty of other names, be stuck with the name of Moshe, or God choosing to keep that name? And the answer is truly Mesiras Nefesh, because Moshe grew up in the palace of Paro, and growing up in the palace of Paro, he could have stayed behind the scenes. And if he stayed behind the scenes when he saw Vayarish Mitzri Make Ishavri Meyachav, he could have said, I could step forward, but then I would probably lose my standing as an Egyptian prince, and I would be giving up my life, my beautiful life in the palace. My brethren are suffering in not just exile, but in severe labor problems, and they're being murdered. And if I don't do something, but if I do, I'll probably have to run away. And this is the problem. But anyhow, so Moshe decides to abandon his life in the palace, knows that this is what it's going to be. But what's on Moshe's mind, really? He thinks possibly that he could galvanize the people at this time to step forward. Maybe if he kills the Mitzri, he could organize a revolt, that the people will step forward and organize a revolt. And this is where it gets to the Megillah. But putting that aside, keeping that in mind, let's get back to what I titled the parasha, and we'll get back to this because I want to give it a framework over here. We have this minute that we start to say, as I said, Zecher and Zecher, and we don't understand why it. The Vilna Gaon makes a very interesting point in B'Shalach when he says, Macho Emche as Zecher. And when God says at the end of B'Shalach, when they have the fight with Amalek, when Yoshua, God Moshe tells Yoshua, Becharlonu Anoshim Vitzei Lochem Amalek, and God says, Ki Macho Emche as Zecher Amalek. So we have the Parsha in B'Shalach uses the word Zecher. We don't have an argument whether the word in B'Shalach is Zecher and Zecher. So why do we have an argument over Zecher and Zecher in Kiseitse? It would seem to be a foolish thought, and why would we begin to say that? So let's get back to one of the reasons how we come to that. We notice in Pi, and he says, V'simbozne Yoshua, the operative word is, write it down. The Torah is written without vowels, so all right, we're left to have it read to us. And what is the reality there? He says, V'sim bozne Yoshua, read it and make sure you tell it to him in the ear, whisper it to him in his ear exactly what it says so that there's no mistake made if it's Zecher or Zohar or Zecher. We'll read it to him and it says Zecher in B'shalach. So why in Kiseitse do we have a problem? And the answer is really very interesting in another word that we see the difference between Kiseitse and in B'shalach. And let's get back to where it says in B'shalach, it says, Ki mocho emche es zecher amolek. In Kiseitse, it says, mocho timche es zecher amolek. What is the difference? God takes the responsibility upon himself. He says, Ki yod al keiska milchamol Hashem ba'amolek midor dar. He makes a point of saying that he accepts the responsibility that he will be the one to wipe out the remembrance of Amalek, and leaves it there. But the problem is, in Kiseitse, suddenly the language changes, and it says, Mocho Timche, he voiced the responsibility of dealing with Amalek on Bnei Yisrael. What changed in all that time, and what is the difference, really? And so God, after the 40 years in the Midbar, this is at the end of 40 years in the Midbar, and at this juncture in time, God says that, I'm leaving it up to you. I see that I need you to follow orders. At the beginning, you just didn't learn that you are Amtushay Oref, and I need you to learn to follow orders. You built the Mishkan, everything you did right, so I need you to follow orders and see if you could follow orders. Now, I'm going to give you the responsibility to deal with Amalek. But it's a very interesting thing, and it says in the Parsha of Amalek, we say there's a mitzvah to remember Amalek. And then it says at the end of the parsha, it says, Lo tishkoch, never forget. Of course, we see very interestingly enough, when it says, Ki mocho emche, when God says it, that he will deal with it, it doesn't say the word Lo tishkoch, don't forget. And that is a very simple answer, because the reality is, if God is saying he will be responsible, who in their right mind would think for one second that God could forget? We know, we say it on davening in the Yom HaNarayim, Ki ain't God never forgets. So there's no reason to say Lo Tishkoch if he's going to carry out the mission himself. But when it comes to us, it's for us to carry out the mission. Then we have to remember to forget, not to forget. But also Lo Tishkoch, what does that mean, Lo Tishkoch? It would seem to be to remember and not to forget are mutually exclusive, is meaning not to forget to remember. In other words, I want you to remember, but what are you remembering? We don't have the ability to literally destroy Amalek, but the problem is when God says it in the Parsha, when he says Zecher Amalek, why are we using a different language? Because in the Parsha of B'shalach, when we say Zecher, when God is going to do it, he has the capability of literally obliterating the people of Amalek. He has that capability because he could do what he wants. But when it's left to us, we don't have the guarantees, and we don't know, especially for many centuries, we don't have the ability to wipe out Amalek. We could not physically, but we only have the ability to wipe out their midos, the way they act in the Asher Karcha Baderech, means that everything is happenstance in the world, that there is no God controlling the universe. That is their midah of Amalek, and not helping other people. But the fact is, because Amalek had nothing to gain when they came up against the Jews, they were not invading their land. Amalek came out to them. We have to remember that. Amalek wasn't, the Jews were not coming onto the land of Amalek, and they didn't want to let them go, just like we see in Bamidbar when the Jews were getting ready to enter Israel, when they passed through the land of Ammon and Moab and, you know, various other places. They didn't want to let them go through the land they were going through. But Amalek came out from wherever they were to meet the Jews and start a fight for no other reason than anti-Semitism. And God decides that he doesn't brook that kind of insurrection, that he will not stand for. But the fact remains, if it's left up to us and we don't have that capability of physically destroying them, and we only have the capability of blotting out their memory by not acting as they did, not being the same type of people their traits that emanate from them that they leave behind in the world, then perhaps the word is now not zecher, but perhaps the word might be zecher, and therefore we have that difference of opinion. But interestingly enough, where does that come into the Megillah? The fact is, of course, we know that the story of the Purim has to do with wiping out Haman and even Achashverosh, who died a peaceful death, but nevertheless, Haman, who was the chief from Amalek, he was a descendant of Agag, who Shaul didn't kill, but nevertheless, this is a real scenario here where Mordechai stuck his neck out. Moshe stuck his neck out, but he did not hang around to find out what happened. And why not? Because he realized the time was not right for him to do, the time wasn't right for him to galvanize the people. What happened at that time? The people of his day, Dasam Vaviram, told on him and said that Moshe was a Jew and that he killed a Mitzri, and Moshe had to run for his life. He wasn't going to hang around and see what happened. Maybe he should have. I don't know. We'll never know. But the fact is, Moshe took off for Midian and he ran away. And he stayed there until God called him at the burning bush and told him, now the time is right. Mordechai, on the other hand, and where do we get from this pasuk in the Megillah? The pasuk in the Megillah is a very poignant pasuk in the Megillah when Mordechai comes to Esther. And we always have to remember that the reality is, as the Gemara points out in great detail, there's like two blot of Gemara that discussed the whole scenario. How could Mordechai send Esther to be living with Achashverosh? We make it sound, we read the Megillah in a half hour, and we're 45 minutes, and we think that the story happened very quickly from the time that she was appointed queen, and the story is a couple of chapters later, and we read it very quickly. But the truth of the matter is, she was living with him for a number of years, and nothing came to fruition. And Mordechai realizes, because we have to strike while the iron is hot. Maybe this is the opportunity. Many times we have opportunities and we don't open the door. We don't know when an opportunity comes before us, when something might change our life or change the course of the life of our brethren in other lands or for the people that live around us. We never know, but we always have to take that chance. And Mordechai realizes that, and he says, "Kasher avadati, avadati," because if nothing happens, if nothing comes to fruition from the years that you live with Achashverosh, and I was the cause of it by telling you to go to Achashverosh and become queen, then if it was all for naught, then we are destined to be in Gehenna for what we did. How could it be possible? So Esther says, if that's what you want, then the real situation here is, Esther says, I will do it on one condition. Vutsumu olai v'yaltoklu v'yaltishtu shlosh yisrimim laila v'yo. If everybody, gather all the Jews of Shushan, gather everybody from all around, all the Jews that could be contacted, and tell them that they have to daven and fast for 3 days, and they did. And that is what the difference is. The difference is that this is what they were able to do. The Jews came together as a nation. I always say that the major miracle of Purim to me is not what we read in the Megillah, but could you imagine? Ein Esther Magedis Molada Tov Yesamah. Esther never told Achashverosh that she was a Jew. You mean nobody would be like Dasan and Aviram, who told on Moshe, and then Moshe realized the time isn't right to galvanize the people. If the people are not unified behind each other, to stick up for each other, it's not going to work. The time isn't right. He had to run away to Midian. But Esther realizes, if they are going to do it, if they will gather together, then the time is right and God will come to our aid. If we are unified as a nation and we stick together, then we can achieve everything and God will come to our aid, because that's what he wants. And that is what Korban Pesach is all about. When we say, there's not enough for one family, there's not enough people in the family to consume the entire animal, that the mechsas nefashos, they have to do that, the Mitzvot for shows, to get to know other people, to become families, get to know your neighbor. And that is why, what do we do on Purim? The story of Purim is what is one of the major mitzvot hayom. It's L'shloach Monos Ish L'Reyehu. We don't have to fight Amalek physically today, but L'shloach Monos is a way to bring people together. It may be neighbors that you don't see on a normal basis, but you go from house to house. It's not so much how many people you do. You have to give at least a couple of people, so it's no big deal. But the point is, we see each other, and it makes something in the community. It's a happy day because we get together with people that we don't ordinarily see, and that is what God wants. The Karbon Pesach is another way. The Mishloach Monos is another way of Mitzvot Nefashos. Mishloach Monos Ish L'Reyehu. It's the same thought process. If we band together, we can do it. And what I started with is saying that God let Moshe be called the name Moshe because Moshe was the name that Bas Paro gave him. And he, even though he was living the life of comfort, he decided to put his life on the line. The same way Mordechai put his life on the line. He stuck up for Yiddishkeit. He was willing to sacrifice his life by putting Esther, by making her at least be one of the candidates to be queen. And God saw to it that she would be chosen as the queen. And he was hoping that it would come to fruition. He realized he was sacrificing his life for this. And all we're left with today is the Zecher. Are we on the side of Zecher or Zecher? We have to be the chief idea of Zecher is not to wipe out Amalek, but to wipe out that thought process of each man for his own, to live on your own. The Mechsas Nefashos, the Mishloach Monos, to think of our brethren. We have a problem today, obviously, in Ukraine, and we don't have good thoughts about the Ukraine. The statue for Khmelnytsky is a major source of pride for the Ukrainians today, even now. But the fact remains, that's not what God tells us in the Torah. Ki Eger or Yisib Yeretz Mitzrayim, God never wanted us to imagine we were slaves for 210 years, but yet we lived there for 210 years. And even that, God says, you can never forget that. That's where you resided for 210 years. And if there are Jews that lived out throughout history, of course, there were pogroms throughout history. Many Jews were slaughtered. But nevertheless, there are people, if we don't come to the aid of people, if our thoughts are, they're just people who, you know, who didn't exactly help out Jews in World War II, certainly not, and they don't deserve our sympathy. But the fact is, we're all citizens of the world and all God's creation. So we have to be Mimichsas Nefashos as Jews, but as Jews, we have to live the life of a Jew, which is even to help as much as we can, at least to some degree, at least to try to avoid and be on the side of justice at the very least. And so the Mechsas Nefashos, Mishloach Monos, Mordechai was willing to sacrifice his life. And that's what we need from our leaders. And that's what we want to accomplish today. We have leaders that make a show of force. Only the leaders of a nation can have the right to put their life on the line. The ordinary person does not have that right to do it if it's unnecessary. Mordechai was the leader of his generation. Moshe was the leader of his generation. He was willing to sacrifice his life. May we all open up the doors. Miodea, all of us. Miodea, Mleis, Fazot, Higat Lamalchus. When the opportunity knocks, make sure we're there to answer the door. Have a good week and have a nice parsha. And just to say one quick thing about the parsha, there's one Masechta in Shas, the Horios. It's only 12, 13 blots. And the entire Masechta is all about the leaders, the responsibility of the leaders, and it's all, the whole Masechta is based on three words in this parsha. This parsha of Vayikra is all, the whole Sedra is, the whole Masechta is based on this parsha. And the three words that generate the entire conversation is, oh, hoda elav. Had I known, I would not have done it. And that's why, hocheach tochiach ha-misecha. You see something, you say something. These exactly the Torah says it. If you see something, say something. The expression that we use, we have all these English expressions. They all come from the Torah. See something, say something is in this week's parasha. Oh, hodai lov is if I would have known, if I knew it, it's your responsibility to say something. And that is where we are. If we do that, if we take that to heart, we will have better lives. And what I've learned is I always want to say, I have to look at myself in the mirror in the morning and say, I did this or I didn't do this, and I'm not ashamed to say what I say or do what I do. And if we are true to ourselves, and no man is an island, not to give all these platitudes, but we realize no man is an island. We can't live our lives all as singular people. We have to be community-minded. Have a good week. Thank you.